This is KZYX, Philo 90.7 FM, KZYZ, Willetson, Ukiah 91.5 FM, and Fort Bragg at 88.1 FM. Altogether, we are Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, listener-supported community radio. It's 7:02, and support for KZYX comes from our contributors and the 2019 Mendocino Music Festival on the beautiful Mendocino Headlands. Tickets are on sale now. This year, the festival presents over 24 concerts, from blues to bluegrass, symphonies to opera, and jazz to Cajun to Quebecois, packed into 2 weeks, now through July 27th. Information is at mendocinomusic.com. Well, welcome. This is ordinarily the Ecology Hour, but tonight we have a special program. My name is Alicia Bales, and I'm sitting in as a host. Yesterday, Mendocino County Sheriff's Department announced the beginning of Operation Clean Sweep to serve search warrants on public and private lands to investigate illegal cannabis cultivation sites. That's supposed to take place from July 15th, yesterday, to the 19th, so all week, in collaboration with the California Department of Food and Agriculture, Cal Cannabis Licensing, Department of Fish and Wildlife, State Water Resources Board, Cal Fire, and the California Army National Guard. Tonight, we're going to talk about Operation Clean Sweep. What is it? What does it mean for licensed and unlicensed cannabis cultivators in Mendocino County? Did we legalize cannabis only to return to the bad old days of helicopters and marijuana eradication? I'd like to welcome our guests. We have three guests on the phone, and I expect we'll be joined by Jen Procacci, the host of the Cannabis Hour, shortly as well. Our guests are Monique Ramirez, who's a licensed cultivator and cannabis policy advocate, attorney Hannah Nelson, who's a member of the board and an executive committee member of the Mendocino Cannabis Alliance, and Kate Maxwell, who's the publisher of the MendocinoVoice.com, who's been covering Operation Clean Sweep. Welcome, all of you, to the show tonight. Thank you for coming on at short notice.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, everyone. Yeah, three of you. So we'll kind of go down the line. Let's start with you, Hannah, because you have put out probably the way that most of us have found out about Operation Clean Sweep is the communiques that Mendocino Cannabis Alliance has been sending out. Can you talk about what's been happening with Operation Clean Sweep and how you found out about it?
Sure. Well, and I do have an update. We just, Mendocino Cannabis Alliance, MCA, just put out another press release with slightly updated information because some points of clarification were needed regarding the statement that Tom Allman made to me last week. We had been advised of potential actions and actions that were going on in Humboldt County, and certainly the Covelo community had meetings with Sheriff Allman and knew that upcoming actions were about to happen. So we as an organization decided that it was important to get out in front of this and contact the sheriff and start a dialogue and voice our concerns and get as much information as we could out to people in advance of the event actually starting. I think it was Thursday, we issued a press release and got the information out. And in that, Sheriff Allman was, you know, very clear on the fact that the use of National Guard helicopters and pilots would occur, and that they had tried to take care to make sure that they were targeting unlicensed, unpermitted cultivation operations, and particularly with a focus with those that are having some kind of environmental violation. He was pointing out that National Guard officers or personnel would not be used in the eradication of cannabis. And what happened was yesterday, when the Sheriff's Department issued a new press release explaining the operation and naming it Operation Clean Sweep, which I want to talk about a little bit later, and the flashback to Operation Green Sweep.
Exactly.
At any rate, there was some question as to whether or not there was consistency with what Sheriff Allman had told me last week. And so our president, Patrick Seller, spoke with Mendocino County Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer Captain Gregory Van Patten today to get clarification involving the involvement and use of National Guard and Cal Cannabis resources in Operation Clean Sweep and other smaller operations throughout the summer, given that the press release issued Monday by MCSO might have indicated more involvement by National Guard personnel than what MCA understood from Sheriff Allman's statement to MCA last week. Specifically, Sheriff Allman stated to MCA that no National Guard personnel would be assisting in cannabis eradication, while the MCSO press release on 7/15 indicated that the National Guard personnel would be used both for helicopter resources and would assist in execution of warrants. So as a result of the need to clarify those things, Captain Van Patten provided the following clarifying information, and I'm quoting directly. In regards to information previously provided by Sheriff Allman to MCA that there would be no National Guard involved in the cannabis eradication, this is true in the sense that there is no National Guard team assisting in eradication efforts. However, there are members of the National Guard who are assisting the state's Campaign Against Marijuana Program, CAMP, remember them, team as part of the Operation Clean Sweep. They are not allowed to participate directly in cutting down, chipping, or otherwise eradicating cannabis plant material. They are acting in a support role and operating at the direction of Mendocino County Sheriff's Office. The operation, limited to the Eel River watershed, is focused on those type of locations that are obviously engaged in acts of environmental degradation to natural resources of this county we all love and that make Mendocino County precious. Operation Clean Sweep is designed to take place on a large scale for a very short time, not all summer long. There are approximately 30 predetermined sites. The warrants that have been served so far this week have halted several acts of significant environmental degradation and have kept in line with the mission of this operation to protect our natural resources. There was a lot of work done on the front end to work with Cal Cannabis, the Cannabis Licensing Division of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, CDFA. We want to protect the interests of those who are growing cannabis legally. We understand that there are operators who may have formerly held a temporary license from Cal Cannabis, which has expired, and have not yet been issued their annual or provisional license. If there are applicants working through the permitting process who are committing significant environmental crimes, then yes, they may be targeted. However, if they're not causing environmental damage, they will not be the focus of this operation. There are no additional operations of this type which are pre-planned at this time. However, it is likely that other watersheds will be focused on in the near future. There will also be continued 1 to 2 day operations taking place around the county throughout the summer. We are always conducting aerial overflies in order to confirm complaints or identify potential trespass grows. Cal Cannabis is being consulted as part of these operations, as well as to determine which cultivation sites are in the permitting program. Operators are awaiting the issuance of their Cal Cannabis annual or provisional license who are not engaged in environmental crimes such as unpermitted grading, tree clearing, illegal spring or stream diversions, etc., are not the focus of these smaller operations which will be taking place throughout the summer. These operations are about protecting the natural resources of our county for future generations. And then the press release continues, MCA reminds everyone that Sheriff Allman encouraged providing MCA with photographic and video documentation of any law enforcement violations that are observed. Please send photos and videos to info@mendocannabis.com. MCA recommends to have your local authorization and state licenses properly posted, including your environmental permits and all other documents that establish the legality of the cultivation or permitting in process. If applicable, have your lawyer's contact information available. Whenever possible, document with video any encounters with law enforcement. Try to include which local and state agencies are present and the names of the associated staff and officers. While not required, cultivators may also want to place 4-foot banners with their local and or state permit and license numbers on them in visible positions on the ground so law enforcement can see them clearly from helicopters. We'll continue to provide information as it becomes available. So that is the most recent update from the Mendocino Cannabis Alliance.
And as far as we know, Operation Clean Sweep has begun. It started yesterday. Do we know that if they have actually come to the ground and eradicated grows?
You would have to confirm it with them. It's my understanding that 2 search warrants, or at least 1 search warrant and 2 eradication sites were conducted yesterday in the Spy Rock area. But that's not from an official report, so I would be a little hesitant to confirm that without checking with them.
All right. And Monique Ramirez, you are yourself a licensed cultivator and a cannabis advocate. Do you have any information? What is it like for you as a cultivator to get this news about Operation Clean Sweep? Oh, Monique, did we lose you? All right. Well, Kate Maxwell. Oh, hey. And then we have Jen Procacci. Welcome, Jen.
Hi.
So it looks like we lost Monique, so we'll get her back on the line and continue with our guest, Kate Maxwell of the Mendocino Voice. You've been covering Operation Clean Sweep. Do you have anything to add to the rundown that Hannah gave us?
Sure. Well, I would just say, from a statewide perspective, you know, I think there has been aerial trainings that occur with the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office and a variety of state agencies that are typically based at the Ukiah Airport. And this is something that's been going on. It doesn't happen every year, but there is funding to support this kind of training. And so I think for a lot of Mendocino County residents, they first started seeing the helicopters that we now know are the National Guard around mid-June, and a lot of that activity was initially associated with this training. Of course, this training is an aerial surveillance training, and one of the reasons it happens in Mendocino County is that law enforcement officials like to say it's a great target-rich environment to be able to practice spotting potentially illegal grows in forested areas. And so, you know, I think there had previously been some mention of employing the National Guard on unpermitted cannabis sites. The governor, several months ago, I think he made a public statement about pulling the National Guard away from the border in sort of a President Trump-related conversation, and then made a comment about how he'd be sending them to do cannabis eradication. But at that point, there was a lot of emphasis on the National Guard being used for trespass grows on public lands. And I think there, shortly before we started seeing this activity in Northern California, there was media reporting on the National Guard doing cannabis compliance activities in, I believe, Anza County and a number of places down south. And then it was made public that they would be coming up north at some point, but again, the emphasis was primarily on public land. But I know that from my conversation with law enforcement officials, part of what's happening is that there has been a decrease in the amount of trespass grows on public land. So the focus has shifted towards people who are on private property, but in some way out of compliance, and there's definitely been a significant shift towards emphasizing environmental degradation, because in part those are potentially still criminal charges. And as Sheriff Allman said to the supervisors this morning, those could also be federal charges. And so the Sheriff's Office, I think, is also working with the District Attorney's Office, the Federal District Attorney's Office, and with the State Licensing Board to sort of look at what potential charges are while they're identifying. Sorry, let me say that they're working with the state licensing agency and supposedly here with planning and building and local cannabis permitting authorities, but they are also looking at, you know, sort of what charges beyond civil charges might come out of these raids. And from my understanding, I believe the sheriff said this morning they had eradicated about 10,000 plants yesterday. So my guess would be that they went out somewhere, though I don't think he clarified how many sites.
Did you say 10,000 plants yesterday?
I did. That's, I believe, what I caught him say in the meeting. But, you know, that's a nice round number. So I don't know exactly if they have someone out there counting or what that might look like. It could also, you know, depending on what type of farming was going on there, the size of those plants is anyone's guess. But
Right. They could be big. They could be very small. They could be mature plants. They could be starts. They could be clones.
So, and I'm joined in the studio by Jen Procacci, who's the host of the Cannabis Hour, who's much more knowledgeable about this subject than me. Thanks for joining us, Jen.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here, although under grim circumstances, but happy to be able to help get the information out there always.
Yeah, and we were thinking people would have questions as well, so we're planning to open the phone lines up in the second half of the show and try our best with our panel of experts to give you information about Operation Clean Sweep. So let's bring Monique Ramirez into the conversation.
Yeah, Monique, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
So you were out there today. I believe you attended the Board of Supervisors meeting, and I was just wondering if you had heard any news out in the community or if you had anything that you wanted to chime in and add to the information that we've gotten so far from Hannah and Kate.
I was just going to give my own personal take on things, and just that I feel that, I personally really feel that military-style eradication just keeps us stuck in the past, and it perpetuates fear on both sides. And I can understand that law enforcement needs to be prepared for all types of these kinds of situations they may face, but it's really my hope that we can move to a more civil engagement with illegal operators and hopefully find a way to get them into compliance without having to use military-style tactics that are costly and also could be really dangerous. And it just seems that a simple letter to a landowner seems to be a much simpler approach as a first step to get people into compliance. And it's hard when you're dealing with small family-style mom-and-pop gardens and operations, and that forceful entry can lead to a lot of trauma for them. And it just seems that, you know, once a site is established to pose no physical threat to an eradication team, then it would make sense for them to treat them at a more civil level rather than draw guns and act with intimidation tactics. And I just hope that we can move towards that. And maybe they're trying to do that out there. I mean, you know, unless we're out there ourselves seeing how it's going down, we just really can only base it on the information we get back from the public on that and hope that the law enforcement is acting in accordance with the, you know, respect that we hope that they give to each person, regardless of them being out of compliance. Like, we're still human at the end of the day. And so I think it's an important topic, and I'm really grateful to see all channels of media trying to cover this important topic, because it's an important issue that we all have to acknowledge. So.
Well, and it's interesting to hear the reasons given for this kind of military style eradication effort that we're very familiar with. Hannah referred to Operation Green Sweep and the way that I think one of the motivating factors for some of us to vote for legalization was to get rid of this kind of activity in the community. It's very invasive. It's very traumatic. And it's questionable about people's civil rights. But the reason given is for environmental damage, and it would be the first time. It's like everybody talks about cannabis being the most regulated industry in the history of the world, and now that's also true for environmental degradation. For instance, we know that there are many industries in this county that are spraying herbicides by the tens of thousands of acres out in the forest, and many industries are using herbicides and toxins. But you don't see military-style helicopters coming here to put a stop to it. In fact, it's protected and legal. But with cannabis, it's shocking to have lived here for almost 30 years and see this kind of concern about environmental violations. Hannah, do you want to talk about that echo back to Operation Green Sweep?
Yeah, I do. You know, I was one of the attorneys on the Green Sweep litigation, as well as prior lawsuits against both the state and federal governments for the military-style operations that were conducted in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, it was funny because last week when I was talking to Sheriff Allman, even though I was specifically targeting the issue regarding the use of helicopters and making sure that people who are in process would be safe if they're otherwise have water rights and whatnot, I had no idea that they had chosen this name, Operation Clean Sweep. And had I heard that last week, I think I would have had a much less open reaction, which is not a great thing to admit, but I think that all of us who lived through that style of intervention and molestation of families, of property, of animals, of the environment, can't help but be extremely disturbed by the echoing of Operation Green Sweep, as well as others. And I can't believe they used that name. I'm kind of surprised, especially because, at least in my conversations with Sheriff Hallman, it appears from Mr. Patton's comments to Patrick Sellers today that they're trying to emphasize a much more circumspect approach and different tactics than had been used in a broad-based way in the past. And so you would think that they would want to distinguish themselves by having a very different name. But anyway, that's kind of a digression. You know, people had, at one point, I tried to use CEQA to shut down the marijuana eradication program up in Humboldt County. And unfortunately, there's a law enforcement exception. But one of the things that we documented over many, many years is that the environmental degradation caused by these kind of raids can be quite extensive, and particularly if you're using personnel from out of the area who are not necessarily sensitive to fire issues by driving across lands that not on roads, but with, you know, high fire danger and being, you know, sparking small wildfires happen regularly, the scaring of animals, and not to mention, as, you know, Monique just referred to her own experience of the past, you know, being families being held at gunpoint and being treated as if way worse than many other types of criminals are treated in a process of investigation. And it's really a shame that we're still using those techniques or that those techniques have come back. I certainly do not have any information that there have been abuses thus far, and I was very heartened that Sheriff Allman was encouraging people to report potential violations. I think that that's a big, huge, and positive change that was not available to us until after we litigated the issue. So I'm encouraged by that, but it's just, as Monique said, the militarization of cannabis eradication and even enforcement of egregious violations of environmental laws, I think, can be handled in a completely different way through civil enforcement. There's abatement processes, and in fact, the county over this past year had rewritten their abatement process and really added some robust provisions to it so that it could be effectively enforced. And I don't see them looking to those processes first. You know, and that's quite a shame. But there are a lot of people out there with PTSD and for good reason. And I hope to God that the way in which these raids are being conducted don't echo the Green Sweep and prior camp raids of the 80s and 90s. You know, I really hope so.
So if you're just joining us, I want to remind you that this is KZYX. And we are here live in the studio this evening. We are covering Operation Clean Sweep, which are the cannabis raids that are currently happening all across the county. We're being joined via phone by Monique Ramirez, who is a licensed cultivator and cannabis policy advocate. We also have attorney Hannah Nelson, who was just speaking, and Kate Maxwell, the publisher of MendoVoice.com, who has been covering Operation Clean Sweep. And if you're out there listening in the community and you have a question for us or you would like to call in and share what your experience has been, we are going to be opening up the phone lines, I think, in probably about 5 or 10 minutes. So stick with us and give us a call if you've got something to say.
Yeah. So, Kate, you've been looking at kind of the big picture of what's happening with Clean Sweep. Kind of from outside the lens of the cannabis industry. What have you been able to get in touch with the sheriff to understand what they're thinking or what's actually going on? And also, I understand that they're also doing a similar program up in Humboldt County. And what have you found out about what's happening north of us?
So, you know, I have spoken with various representatives of the Sheriff's Department. I've also spoken with a spokesperson at the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And so before all of this was officially in play, I did briefly speak with one of the point people at the National Guard as well. I think there, in the past, when there have been multi-agency operations, a lot of times there are some kinds of ambiguity around potentially which agency has actually initiated or requested assistance in that operation. And so from a reporting standpoint, there's also a number of different kinds of collaborative task forces, and COMET is still in play. I believe CAMP was referenced in one of the most recent sheriff's press releases about this operation. And there's also the WET task force, which is, I believe, sort of more of a water-focused enforcement multi-agency team that's kind of coordinated by the Water Board and Fish and Wildlife. And so figuring out, questions like Hannah mentioned of the cost of these operations or exactly how many warrants are issued and what charges come out of them can often be very opaque. And, it really depends on the individual agency and sort of how they want to approach making public information about, what they would call an ongoing investigation. And so it's not always easy to actually get a good sense of the scope or the scale of what the enforcement looks like. And a lot of times, depending on people's individual situations, particularly if they're someone that maybe was some way through the process of trying to get a permit, they might be very hesitant to sort of come forward and or push back in any way against what's happening or go public with any kind of issues they might have. As compared to the Mendocino Sheriff, who is sort of being a little bit more public in terms of issuing press releases this year, the Humboldt Sheriff, I believe, put out a YouTube video several weeks ago describing their plans for enforcement up in Humboldt, which from what I can tell are pretty similar. And I know it's sort of a North Coast-wide, multi-county eradication effort. But I believe the Humboldt Sheriff did allude to there being potentially complaint-driven enforcement happening up there. A lot of times I think some of this activity may be in the sort of island mountain area where then you will have multiple sheriff's departments kind of coordinating. But it sounds like this time around, a lot of the activity will be sort of at the behest of the Mendocino Sheriff's Office. And so given the number of difficulties that people have had here locally in sort of getting their full permits in place with the county and the state, I know that's been true in a number of other counties, but it seems like it's been a somewhat smoother compliance process for people in Humboldt, or maybe just a quicker one. But it seems like sort of there is a push in saying, we want this to be focused on environmental degradation, and I think that's politically popular as well. You're hard-pressed to find someone that wants to see the river dry up. But I think there is also sort of a broader move being made towards, they have these new funding streams for different kinds of enforcement with the new regulatory system, and so they are also making moves towards going after people who haven't made steps towards compliance in that way.
Mm-hmm. So this is Jen. Kate, I'm wondering, there's been a lot of speculation over the past few weeks about the involvement of the National Guard. Do you know for a fact whether or not the National Guard is actually on the ground participating in these raids, or if they were just a collaborator through helping gather information during flyovers or what?
I don't know their exact capacity. And I think, I think what Hannah just mentioned in terms of the most recent conversation with Captain Van Patten, trying to clarify, you know, is this helicopters being used or who's actually on the ground doing exactly what? It can get very hard to parse, I think, because some individual agencies will have their own specific policies. Like I know CBFW is supposed to primarily just kind of eradicate things when they find violations and keep a sample for later testing. Whereas other agencies might have the purview to not cut everything down right away. But I think there is enough coordination between these agencies that it can be very hard to actually figure out, who's leading what. And that certainly is also true of any kind of helicopters involved. So typically the Mendocino sheriffs, when leading something on their own, will rent helicopters from private helicopter companies. But, you know, in this kind of operation, they could be using aircraft from a number of different agencies. So I don't actually have a sense of exactly who's doing what in what way. And I think that's sort of part of their strategy, is to say it's a big team effort. So,
right.
So Jen, do you mind if I add something to that?
Oh, please, go ahead.
I have the feeling, and it's interesting that CAMP is now specifically referenced as a whole nother element to this. And so for those who don't know, Campaign Against Marijuana Planting is a specific unit, which is a multi-jurisdictional task force at the state level. And they often come in and just do straight eradication without necessarily the follow-up investigation and or prosecution. And what has typically happened in the past is that CAMP comes in and conducts massive amounts of flyovers and then comes on the ground and does eradication. A bunch of years ago, they started realizing that if they team up with the law enforcement agencies and the prosecutors that are actually going to be doing the follow-up work, they could kind of handle both sides of the coin. And one of the reasons why the CAMP often only had a mandate for eradication is because that's what their mandate was. They would make referrals to other agencies. So it's interesting, and it's not uncommon to have multi-jurisdictional task forces of a variety of nature. So in this case, from what I understand from Sheriff Allman, as well as the press releases that they've issued and the clarification from Captain Van Patten, it really seems like there are a bunch of different agencies. There's Mendocino County Sheriff's Department, and Sheriff Tom Allman has indicated that the operations here are being conducted pursuant to the Sheriff's Department request and under their direction. So I think that we have a right to sort out some level of accountability. And so the question becomes, okay, if there are CAMP officers that are not specifically National Guard facilitating local sheriff's department or other Cal Cannabis or WET team or any other agency, but it's specific CAMP, would we have the same level of accountability? And one of the things that I was heartened to hear is that Sheriff Allman was claiming that he was instructing the people that he was going to be meeting with tomorrow morning, pre-mission reporting and direction, that he was instructing them to provide their names if asked and to carry business cards if possible. And I think that that's a very positive step, and that the accountability is something that we really need to follow through on. And I was encouraged by his insisting that he was going to inform all personnel to do that, to give their names when asked and to carry business cards, as well as encouraging people to send through MCA photos and videos of any potential violations. So I'm hopeful, but the CAMP element kind of throws a monkey wrench into that straight line accountability.
Yes. So I just want to let all our listeners out there know that we are opening up the phone lines. And if you would like to call in and ask a question, or if you have an experience that you would like to share, And this is like the honor system here. So, you know, we're trying to get clear information out there. So if you have an experience you've had that you would like to share with us, we're happy to hear it. So our number is 707-895-2448. That's our number here at the studio. So again, that's 707-895-2448. So please give us a call.
One of the things that's the other kind of seems like the other side of this equation is that people have been trying to figure out licensing in this county, and many people want to comply, but have been having a very challenging time being able to meet all of the requirements and the costs. And so it kind of feels like being corralled into a corner and then, you know, facing the helicopters again, rather than the county figuring out a way that people can actually comply.
Yeah. And we had spoken about this earlier on the phone, and I absolutely agree with you. It feels very sad. I feel like a lot of people really have their backs against the wall right now. They're trying to get through the program. Their license has been held up by, you know, the sort of constipated element of various agencies, or, you know, they missed the deadline to get their provisional license from the state. Maybe they have a county permit and they're, you know, in compliance, except they don't have their state permit. And it remains to be seen what tactics are being used on the ground. You know, we're not going to know that, I don't think, for a few days or even until next week. But if things are going down out there like they have in the past, it's really sad. I mean, it's like this is legal cannabis now, and quote unquote legal. Really, it's just more highly regulated than ever before. But people voted for Prop 64 because they wanted to see an end to this violence in our community. So I just want to remind people out there that if you want to call in, the call-in number, it's 707-895-2448. That is 707-895-2448. So back to the issue of environmental degradation. That's sort of, it's an interesting element because, as Kate had mentioned, it is very politically popular. I'm a licensed cultivator myself, and I, of course, am completely against environmental degradation and want to see an end to it, too. But is it really something that we need to take helicopters onto people's property in order to enforce? And then there's also the fine element of that. So I don't know, Hannah, if you want to speak a little bit to that, or Monique, about the amount of money that can be involved now that environmental degradation is coming into play for people that might face fines for water diversion, or, you know, cutting down trees or moving dirt without a permit, or, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah. And is it a civil violation? Is it fines, or are we talking about criminal charges?
Well, first off, there could be a combination depending on the situation. There are definitely civil fines, and some of them can be quite hefty. They vary from agency to agency, and they vary from violation to violation. It's not uncommon right now for CDF to assess $40,000 worth of fines for cutting down a few trees without a 3-acre conversion. That's independent of any tree removal prohibition from the Mendocino Cultivation Ordinance. That's independent of any grading violations which may have occurred both at the local and CDFW, as well as CDF violation standpoint. Then there's the Water Board, and as the grading issues are relevant to them as well as water rights issues and water quality in general. So there's a lot of overlap between the different agencies, but theoretically each agency has a basis for pursuing violations independent from one another. I don't know whether that's what would happen. I think that I would imagine that criminal violations or referrals and analysis of whether or not somebody's going to be charged criminally would be reserved for really egregious situations, although I would not be surprised, and particularly given the history of the district attorney in this county of using various allegations to pressure people into deals, I wouldn't be surprised if charging was done to press people into criminal or civil penalties to be paid. So we're going to have to wait and see how it's planned out, you know, plays out. I also want to remind people that at the state level, you know, there was two sets of legislation that were pretty heavy duty on environmental, not only the compliance needs,
that cultivators would have to adhere to, but also enforcement. And our state legislators felt that it was important to commit huge amounts of resources towards that enforcement end. And I think that, of course, we all respect Mother Nature and want to protect her. But the issue is, do we need these kind of raids and the way in which they're conducted to be able to effectively do that? I think that to a certain extent at the state level, it was part of the political scheme to promise pretty robust enforcement, both with the myth that that would keep out the feds, as well as to appease people who would otherwise perhaps not vote in favor of legislation that was needed to be fixed at the state level to make the whole process go smoother in non-environmental ways. So there were two follow-up, you know, chunks of legislation which really put heavy-duty fines and enforcement actions possible in this in the environmental realm.
And this is Monique, and I would also add to what Hannah just said, and with the passage of AB 97 that our governor just signed, in it, not only does it give relief for the whole provisional license situation, there is language in there that indicates that a person that is illegally operating without any permit, they can receive up to a $30,000 fine per day. That's the maximum threshold, but that's pretty hefty. And if you are in the permitting process, but you're also still doing illegal activity, you can receive up to $5,000 per day as a fine. So that's something to make note of. And yeah, so.
Yeah, this is a little different than the past when it was sort of more get off your property and hopefully all that happens to you is sort of a chop and drop situation. I mean, we're looking at a lot bigger consequences, it seems like.
For any of the three of you, maybe Monique, because we haven't heard as much from you, do you have any sense of what this kind of Operation Clean Sweep this week, maybe what the scope of it is, but also what the impact is going to be on the community at large? I know a lot of people are, like I said, trying to come into compliance. It's not, for a lot of people who've been in the industry for a long time, this does not feel like the most intuitive and natural next step of their lives to come into compliance in a heavily regulated industry. So do you see any kind of chilling effect, or what do you think the effect might be on the community at large and on the industry at large?
Well, I feel that most people that are, you know, have their ducks in order and have their permits posted feel some relief because they know that they're in compliance. And the ones that are still, you know, have half of their foot in the door and half out because they're still waiting on the provisional to be approved or whatever, I think those people are definitely feeling a lot more unsettled because although they're getting some indication from these press releases that they're not the target, they could, you know, you just never know. And so I feel what I've heard from the community, especially in Covelo, a lot of people have taken proactive steps and painted their license, you know, on a big board and have stuck it on, you know, near their garden site for aerial photographs if that's going to take place. And so people are really getting as, you know, compliant as they possibly can with all of their paperwork and have their binders ready and just are ready and prepared. And then those that are illegal, I think everyone that's illegal has known that this is potentially going to happen to them at some point, and so they take that chance. And people definitely have that fear in their minds, and especially when you start seeing the convoy coming into your community, you know, the word spreads like wildfire, and you just hope that you're not the one that's going to get hit. And so it's hard. It definitely divides the community right now in general, just between the licensed operators that are trying to comply and pay all the fees and then the people that aren't. And there's so many varying reasons why those people aren't complying. Some flat out just don't want to, and others really do, but then maybe they don't meet the setback requirement or their parcel isn't, you know, eligible for whatever reason. And so those people my heart really goes out to because I know if they could, they and if they had the opportunity, they would like to get a permit. But unfortunately, this regulated market isn't going to allow for that. And I think in the other side of this, with the enforcement on environmental degradation. It's just unfortunate that so much money gets dumped into this when we could spend that money on actually bringing these places into remediation instead of imposing these crazy fines that most people will never be able to afford. How can they afford that fine and then also make the remediation that we really want to see on the property? It just seems backwards to me. I'd rather see people be able to come forward, admit maybe their wrongdoing, and then work towards remediation so that we can all, you know, see a better future for everyone. Otherwise, it just keeps people staying in the black market and keep doing what they're doing and pray that they don't get caught. And that doesn't really get us anywhere. And we're trying to move to a new paradigm. And Prop 64 was supposed to alleviate some of this prohibition, and it doesn't feel like we're fully there yet. So hopefully as things move forward, the water board's instilling an enforcement program, and they're taking a lot of input right now from stakeholders to figure out how they're going to achieve that and what the focus is. And so I've been trying to stay engaged in that process and just do what I can to bring that knowledge to the community.
So this is Jen Procacci. I'm the host of the Cannabis Hour, and I just want to remind you that this is a special program on KZYX tonight. We'll be covering Operation Clean Sweep, the current cannabis raids, live on the air here just until 8 p.m., so we've got another about 12 minutes remaining, and our phone lines are open here. If you're out there listening and you'd like to call in and ask a question of me or Alicia or one of our three knowledgeable guests, or you'd like to share an experience that you've had, please give us a call. Our number here is 707-895-2448. That number again is 707-895-2448. So for our listeners that may be just joining us, can we cover again the locations, the areas in the county that have already been hit? I know I've heard Island Mountain. Alicia, do you know where else? Perhaps Laytonville?
Well, I heard up Spyrock, but the communication coming from the Mendocino Cannabis Alliance and Hannah is that this is going to be lasting, or the communication coming from the sheriff's office yesterday was that this is going to be from the 15th through the 19th. So we have a good 4 or 5 days of this to expect. Do any of you know where they're intending to be carrying out Operation Green Sweep this week?
Well,
Clean Sweep.
It's just so similar.
Oh my God.
So this is Kate, and from what I think I heard the sheriff say this morning he sort of qualified those specific dates and said, that the operation would be going on into next week as well. And I know that there have been at least one previous iteration of a operation that I believe also involved the National Guard at some point in June. And I think as Hannah read aloud, there will be, they've acknowledged that there will be shorter operations continuing throughout the summer. So I think when exactly clean sweep starts and ends, I think we can definitely expect similar types of enforcement to be ongoing. But what I've been told is that the focus is on watersheds in the Eel River. They haven't specified which, but, theoretically in the past, the water regulator agencies like the Water Board and Fish and Wildlife have emphasized that they were going around identifying sensitive key watersheds and that enforcement actions would be focused there. So I think a lot of the environmental talk started during the drought and as these new regulations were being developed. And so I think that still remains their focus, but someone else might know more.
Well, and the other thing that's been happening is the use of helicopters, we found out. I think you guys, all of you sound like you've known about this for a while, but this kind of came through my awareness here at KZYX just in the last couple of days, that we had heard that PG&E was going to be doing helicopter flyovers to check for smoke and fire just as part of their fire, prevention activities. But then we got the next day the news that the county had been using these helicopters to look for non-compliant marijuana grows. Mm-hmm. And so we sort of got all this helicopter news. And then many of us have been noticing helicopters coming over Ukiah, where I live, you know, shaking the house a little bit. And I wonder if you know anything about, are the helicopters taking off from the Ukiah airport, or how's the whole air operation going?
You know, this is Hannah, and I'm not exactly sure. Traditionally, they would take off from Ukiah if it's a Mendocino County Sheriff's Department action. I'm not sure if that is the same for all of the camp operations that are concurrently going on. I would imagine that they're coordinating at one spot, but I couldn't be sure of that. I do want to say that to make things even more confusing, there were also helicopters for PG&E that were setting new poles. And I had a flurry of texts and emails from people who were concerned about helicopters the other day, and it turns out it was just PG&E setting poles. So I think one of the things that I'd like to remind everybody is that it's really important for us to get and share accurate information, and for us to not be tempted to run with the stories that I heard from somebody and the telephones and, you know, all that stuff. And for us to gather the accurate information and share it with each other and really do specific outreach surrounding accurate data collection, so that if there are violations, we can speak with a clear voice and a rational voice and really have the information to back it up.
Yeah, I mean, this is Jen, and I first became aware about this all about a month ago, actually, when my completely compliant licensed garden was flown what I believe actually was the sheriff's department on the same day that a lot of other gardens in the Covelo area were also flown. And it was really interesting for me to experience that, because I was just, you know, sitting, eating breakfast, actually looking out my window, and here comes this helicopter that couldn't be more than, honestly, 200 feet off the ground, and I thought they were landing in my driveway. And so it is like a harken back to the old days, honestly. And even as a licensed cultivator, I'm totally in compliance, but a lot of my neighbors aren't. And it is totally scary, because everyone I know who's ever been raided, they were never the target. They were just caught in the crosshairs. So I hope we come out of this experience not hearing about any licensed cultivators having that experience. But unfortunately, I think we will.
It's interesting, too. We've still got the names Comet and Camp. Comet was County Mendocino Marijuana Eradication Team, and Camp was the campaign against marijuana planting. And it just feels like we are in a different era. We have voted to legalize cannabis, and we are trying to build a fledgling industry here. And in fact, our economic future is really dependent on this industry succeeding and a transition happening that's with trust and with a sense of stability, so that there can be investment and infrastructure. And so it feels really strange to be hearkening back, like you said, to the bad old days of Comet and Camp.
Yeah.
Are we overreacting? Is this really just about environmental compliance?
Right. And what is the definition of that really specifically is what it's going to come down to. You know, what are the egregious violations that they're going to go out there and bust people for? You know, is it going to be something really small, like this person doesn't have a permit for a pond they're taking water out of? Or is it going to be the kind of environmental, you know, degradation that people probably imagine when they think about these things, which is like, you know, huge, horrible, you know, really damaging, long-term damaging stuff going on. But I think that the idea the public has of what environmental degradation is, and then the idea that agencies have, you know, what technically falls into the definition, I think those things are pretty far apart. So that remains to be seen as well. And I just want to remind everyone out there, we've only got about 5 minutes left, and we would love to hear from you. So if you want to call in and be live on the air with us here, that number is 707-895-2448. That is 707-895-2448.
And as we start to wrap up here, Hannah, your point is really well taken, that it is imperative that we have good information and that we have information that's based on things that can be documented. And so I wonder if the three of you will just, we're talking with a panel of three here, if we could hear from each of you where people can go to get that kind of good information. What are the best resources for people in the community to get good information and to share it with each other? And let's start with Monique.
Well,
Well, I would say our organization, the Mendocino Cannabis Alliance, would be a great resource. We're doing our very best to be ahead of these kind of stories and to bring them to the public. And we have a Facebook page as well as an Instagram and an email address so people can send in their, you know, concerns or whatever to us. And we are here to represent the industry. That's our whole mission. So we hope that the community will understand that and know that, and we're here to support everybody.
So I just want to remind everyone, we unfortunately lost Kate Maxwell on the call right now, but she said to please document tail numbers, I think she means of aircraft. If you are experiencing a raid or you know someone who has, document the tail numbers.
All right. And then Hannah?
Yeah, and I would actually add to that, not only is MCA trying to stay abreast of these issues, but we also specifically, Tom Allman, had asked that videos and photographs alleging or documenting potential violations by law enforcement be funneled through us. So I think that that's an important and helpful resource. I also want to add to Kate's request that people document the tail numbers. It's also really important in your photographs or videos to try and get a reference point, and you're not just focused on the helicopter by itself, but also have some key reference point that can be determined what height the helicopter is at, because often people get these great videos, but there's no reference, so you don't know how high it actually is. The other thing, too, that, you know, ask for names. And since Sheriff Allman has instructed his personnel and the personnel who are acting at the Sheriff's Department's direction to provide the names and or business cards, I think that that's an important thing. And again, I do not want to presume the worst. I want to presume the best. And I'm hoping that the manner in which these enforcement actions are being undertaken, even though I strongly believe that they do not need to have this kind of militarized approach, I'm hopeful that they will have learned from the past and will conduct themselves in a professional manner and not degrade our environment, our families, and continue to criminalize cannabis operators who are trying to be legal.
And I am also sure that Kate Maxwell at MendoVoice.com will continue to cover the story closely and document that at MendoVoice.com. So this has been a special hour on the news about Operation Clean Sweep. Our guests have been attorney Hannah Nelson, who's on the board and an executive committee member of Mendocino Cannabis Alliance, Monique Ramirez, who's a licensed cultivator and cannabis policy advocate, and Kate Maxwell, publisher of the MendoVoice.com. That's MendoVoice.com, who's been covering and continues to cover Operation Clean Sweep. I'm here. My name's Alicia Bales. I'm here in the studio with Jen Procacci, who's the host of the Cannabis Hour on Thursday mornings at 11 every other week.
Yes.
And thanks to Jake for engineering. This has been a special edition of the Ecology Hour. Thank you so much for listening.